This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 239. We are tackling Tim Burton's masterpiece, could be a masterpiece or could not be a masterpiece, with Batman from 1989, the one that started it all for the comic book movies, right? If you really think about it. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Batman from 1989?
It's been a while. You know, this was the first time seeing it in 4K. I bought that box set. You know me. I'd be buying these things. I put them on the shelf. So next week, when we do the next movie and the one after, it will all be first time 4Ks. So I think I watched Batman maybe like, because I was definitely in my other apartment, maybe like 4 years ago. 5 years ago, something like that. I did, because I did a watch through and I reviewed them. So it's been a couple of years, but I didn't watch it like too long ago.
Yeah, the last time I seen the Batman 1989, man, is when the Steelbooks came out. Because I remember I did the reviews of the 4K disc review on this channel. I did all four of them on this channel. So I might do like a revamp on of a lot of old stuff that we did. Yeah, review.
What do they call it? A re-upload. Where you put the same video up again.
Yeah, maybe I'll do something like that. But anyway, that's the last time that I watched it. I thought the quality was like amazing, but that is another topic at another day. But what did the critics and audience have to say about Batman from 1989?
Well, it's like you said, I would say this Batman film is the one that launched what we would now, the modern comic book film. You know, because Superman did come out before it, you know, more than 10 years before it, but there was nothing then again in between except other Superman movies. This was the one that launched the modern, darker, more, you know, grown up. This was a grown up movie where Superman's kind of for kids. So with that being said, 73% critic score. So a good critic score, but 84% with the audience. So well reviewed. I think everyone has seen it, or most people have seen it. So I'm looking forward to finally doing some Batman here besides just that Batman v Superman movie that we did.
Yeah, and that was not even a real Batman movie. I mean, it has one
we
of
did
the-
it for Superman.
Yeah. Which is funny because, I mean, we can say whatever we want, but that had one of the best Batman sequences I think we ever seen on film. But that's a different topic. Again, another topic for another day, but we got to get into it. So 72% critics for Batman.
73 and 84.
You know, that's, you know, it's not bad. It's not bad. For a debut at 89, right? At 1989, it's not as harsh as what they are now in film critiquing.
No, but I think people back then thought it was too dark. So that's why that's probably a little bit lower.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about Tim Burton during the overall. But with that said, let's get right into it. Lead character, Michael Keaton as the Dark Knight. What you
think? Listen to me. So I think we've said this before. Batman is my favorite. I believe he's your favorite, too, as far as superheroes, period. Batman's my number one. He's been my number one. I have a favorite Marvel character, and I have a favorite overall. And he's my favorite overall. So with that being said, 5. Now, I don't want people to think that I'm being biased. Oh, just because No, I think this version of Batman and Bruce Wayne, it's very well done. You know, we're not here to score Michael Keaton acting performance, although I like him. I think he's a good Batman. But just the character. Is the lead character in this movie great? Yes, he is. I think Batman he's my favorite superhero because he's a man. He is Batman. You know what I mean? Like, he has not got no special powers. He can die. You can stab him and he can bleed to death. So there's always that little risk. There's more danger involved. One thing I will say that they didn't really get with this first movie is the detective aspect. And I don't really think any of them nailed that until the Matt Reeves Batman recently, to be honest. So, taking that into account, I still think they nailed it. I love his interactions with Vicki Vale. I like him and Kim Basinger. They have good chemistry. I think Michael Keaton, for me, he's always ranked as a great Bruce Wayne. I think he's a good Batman. You know what I mean? But I like his Bruce Wayne. He's got the right amount of charm. And maybe it's because he came from doing comedies. You know, he was known for comedies before this movie. So he's got the right amount of charm. I don't think he's like the, you know, playboy. He doesn't have that playboy aspect to him, but he's still charming, well-written. And you know what I love about this movie? Before I let you go, they do not do... This is a first movie, but it's not an origin story. When the movie starts, Batman already exists. Tim Burton said, I think you know the backstory. You know what I mean? I don't have to show you this for the 15,000th time. So I think Batman as a character, Bruce Wayne as a character, is always top-notch. So it's just if they ruin it, and I don't think they ruined it. So I give them a 5.
You know, you're right. 100% right. You know, it's funny because it hurts because we're not tackling Ben Affleck, right, as Batman, yeah, because he never had a solo movie. So we can't even say, yeah, Batman v Superman is considered a Batman movie. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not even part of like his own solo. So kind of hurts because I would have ranked him high. But when it comes to Michael Keaton, we're doing them one by one. When it comes to Michael Keaton, you're right. In this film, he is the bomb. He is awesome. He is great. And he is the Dark Knight in this movie. I loved him. He was very dark. Even as Bruce Wayne, he was fighting between the you know, Batman and that Bruce Wayne, you know, persona, you know, yeah, the double personality that happens. And I liked it. You're right. I wasn't too crazy with him as Batman. I was just like, oh, all right. But he looked like Batman. And that's the crazy thing. Like, he doesn't sound like him or whatever. It is what it is. But when he put on the cape, I was like, man, this dude looks like Batman. Like, he's short, right?
Yeah.
And he looked
He's not 8 foot tall.
Yeah, he's not like, he's not 6'7". He's nothing like that. And what makes Michael Keaton Batman very, very special, right, going down the line, right? Yeah, he did start it off first, but he's not jacked, you know, like the other characters, right? And I'm not saying the dudes that we're reviewing now are jacked, because they're not even fit. But what I'm saying is like the later, newer iterations of Batman on screen, these guys are putting in the hard work, because in the comics, Batman is ripped. I mean, this dude got thigh muscles on top of thigh muscles. He has like these big, gigantic...
He's like a wrestler.
He does. He has like turkey legs, bro. Like, that was a big meat legs.
He got big meat legs.
He got big meat legs. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you see my statue back there, this dude is ripped. And I like that. But and it doesn't mean like... And what I'm trying to say is, like, because Michael Keaton is not as physical demanding on the role, I think he did a great job. He did the kung fu fighting. I mean, I don't know if he really did it because it's someone in the suit, but he was believable. He presented himself very menacing, very like Batman. Like, I don't know. I loved it. When he landed in the museum and he put that gun to Joker's face, I said, man, this is really like... He looked very devious, but I mean, we talk about Joker next, but I don't know. I liked it. I thought he was very great, and I can see my only thing with Batmans and whether Superman, Batmans, and all these characters, I hate when people rank them, because it's like, you can't rank. I mean, I guess we all fall in that trap, right?
No, because I agree with you. It's hard though, because their movies that they're in are so different.
Yes.
You know, like, is George Clooney a terrible Batman? We'll get to it, but maybe, but he's in a terrible movie. I think if you take Batman and Robin and put Michael Keaton in it, it's also horrible. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Put Ben Affleck in it, it's also horrible. So it's hard to rank.
I agree with you. And how many times do we go into an argument where you tell people Val Kilmer's an awesome Batman and people go, what? That movie, Batman Forever, is horrible. Like, and you go, what? What does that have to do with the movie? Like, we're talking about the guy in the suit acting as Batman. Like, how was he as Bruce Wayne and as Batman? Again, we're going to tackle it in Batman Forever when we rewatch it. But what I'm trying to say is that each of these films are all iterated by different writers, different time eras, generational, you know, 90s is forever. And I think Batman Return.
All three of the sequels. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can see the generational on that, and each of the, and then look at the Batman with Matt Reeves' Batman. It's an Oscar award winning flick that never got an award.
It was nominated.
But not for cinematography, which is crazy.
Well, but it was still nominated.
It was. It is what it is. We talk about Batman. I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5. Let's get to the Joker, Jack Nicholson.
Well, in order to have a great hero, you usually got to have a great villain. And my goodness gracious. The Joker is, there's a reason why he's been portrayed so many times. There's a reason why they keep trying to use the Joker. If you think about it, he's been in every single version, every universe that exists of Batman, okay? From Batman 66, I'm pretty sure Cesar Romero is in that. I've never seen it. Okay, yeah. Cesar Romero, right? The Keaton ones, the Burton ones. Let's call these the four. There's a Joker in it. In the Nolan versions, there's a Joker in it. In the DCEU, there's a Joker in it. In the spinoff, there's a joke. You know what I mean? Like, in Matt Reeves, there's a joke. There's a reason why the Joker appears. And it's because he's the, in my opinion, greatest comic book villain of all time. Period. Hands down. And guess what? Nicholson, iconic as the Joker. I'm giving him a 5 because the Joker is a great character. Where I will, if I'm going to say any negatives, I wish there wasn't the Jack Napier stuff You know what I mean? Yeah. Where he's pre-Joker. I wish, similar to Batman, he just was the Joker at the start of the movie, and then everything else happens similar. You know what I mean? But of course, he's Jack Nicholson. And you got to remember the time, like, this guy was like the biggest, one of the biggest actors in Hollywood. He's like, I ain't wearing that white paint the whole movie. You got to show my beautiful face. Sometimes. So I get it. Looking back on it, I get it. That's my only gripe, is that there's like a, he's like a gangster that turns into the Joker. Once he is the Joker, though, well, first of all, even as the gangster, I love Jack Nicholson in the movie. He's great. My favorite, one of my favorite parts is early when he's in the, they first show him and the girl comes up to him and is like, you look great. And he's like, nobody asked you. Or, I didn't ask her. Like, he's just a jerk the whole time. And then as the Joker, iconic look, iconic performance. I have no problems with it. You know, this is 89. Some of the fighting and stuff is not the best, but he fights him at the end. You know what I mean? And he does all his little Joker. He got all his little Joker tricks. I love the museum scene or library, whatever that thing is. You know, the
museum
when they're, yeah, I love that scene with the Prince music and all the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he nails it. It's a 5 out of 5.
It's crazy with Joker, because you're right. I mean, he's in every movie. I mean, to the point that I'm happy that they didn't do the new ones with the Joker. But you're right. He is the one in the most iconic Batman villain. I mean, it is, and it, but it depends on, right, like, okay, so you get the Joker. Now it's like, what type of Joker you want to put? Because there's so different variations of Joker, right? You got the psychopath, which now we're in a generation that people really want to see more of that. Where, yeah. I prefer the clowning psychopath. Like, he's laughing and doing stupid jokes. Like, this one I love. Everyone's like, I don't get it. Everyone loves the Heath Ledger one. And I'm like, yeah, Heath Ledger did a great variation of Joker, but if you tell me, I prefer the Cesar Romero laughing Joker, and I prefer the Jack Nicholson, because to me, that's Joker. And if you look at the animated series, the one that everyone loves, right, Mark Hamill's voice as the Joker, he's clowning most of the time. Yeah. You know,
he's not scary.
He's not
that version,
and he's not supposed to be scary. He's just a psychopath. Yeah. Right, Jack Nicholson is spot on what I like want on screen with these like legendary like new movies. Yeah. Like that I love when he's like, when he goes to Ace Chemicals, he goes, is it at all? He goes, it pretty much, he goes, shut them all. We're gonna get a brand new door. Right. And yeah. Then all of a sudden you got the commercial, which it is such a genius. It reminded me of the animated series, the commercial, right? It's like, yeah. He's been using Brand X. Right.
That animated series just feels based off of
Jack Nicholson,
even the music, everything, you know, like this series of movies,
so and I love it, like the current, and it's a stupid segment, right? You're thinking about it going, ah, that's dumb, but it comes at a time in a movie where it throws you off, right? Like all this stuff is happening and you're like, what the hell? Joker comes out and all of a sudden, you know, you see the big thing and he's dancing with the cart.
Yeah,
he's like, get your Joker product.
Just smiling. When they show him and he's just smiling, his eyes look like,
yeah,
whatever. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah, that's funny. Was it the females? He was like, those ruby lips and those luscious hair that would make the caretaker or something. And I was just like, this is so dumb. But Tim Burton, because it reminded me of that Beetlejuice scene, right? When he does the TV that I always love mimicking. But that's what it reminded me of. But it's pure genius. Again, you're right. Their fight is god-awful between Joker and Batman. But it is. We'll talk about that next. But again, at the end of everything, they picked an iconic actor to portray the Joker. Sadly, why they did not continue using this guy in Batman Returns, I do not know.
They kill him. What a weird,
I don't know why they kill him.
Weird choice.
It's so stupid.
Just let him die.
Yeah, it is what it is. But with that said, I gave him a 5. You gave him a 5 action scenes.
Okay, well, we got to pump the brakes a little bit. We got a couple 5s coming out. Now we got to pump the brakes hard. A 3. I gave it a 3, I think, for the time. It's good. It's well shot, you know, and we'll get more into overall as far as the direction. But let's be honest. This is not even that first, like the first scene with the thugs in the on the roof. And he just does that one hard kick. He's like, one karate kick, and then he grabs the guy. Like, it's not much, you know what I mean? And he does the karate, but he can't move his head, so it all looks very like stiff, kind of like robot. Yeah. It looks like a robot, but that's not this. I'm not. These are the reasons why, but I'm not faulting it. I don't care. But we have to score the action appropriately. I can't give this higher than a 3 because there's nothing in it that is like so exceptional. It's just solid. for a comic book movie, the movie's focus is in a lot of other areas, which is fine with me. And the action, there's not a lot. There's not a lot of action. And the action that's there is not great. Their fight, like you said, god awful. It's not good. This is not what you want when you're like, okay, we got the Joker and the Batman and it's one on one. Like they're up here. It's not what you want per se. And you know what? I get it. Like the Joker is never someone in my mind. I'm like, yeah, he's also like a martial art master. But even still, it's just not the best. But it's a 3 for me. Like, I think it's cool. I don't have any issues with it, but it's just not. Tim Burton is not who I think of when I'm like action movies. Tim Burton. You know what I mean? So it's fine. It's there. 3.
I agree. I gave it a 3. It's good. I was going to give it a 2 for decent, but I remember other scenes too, and I gave it a 3.
That's a plane.
It does. Cool. Oh, dude, the bat plane. It's so awesome.
3 points just for the bat plane.
The scene that I gave it a 3, a hard 3, was the Ace Chemicals bat car. When he goes in it and everything is like floating everywhere. It's like boom, boom. And it's like, bim, 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 bim. And I was like, yeah, the music is kicking in, which I still don't understand to this day. Why don't they just continue using the damn score? Because it literally puts you into the movie when it starts to play. Like when that shit started shooting, it was like, and it bursts through, and then it's like, and he's killing people. And I'm like, oh my God, he dropped bombs. And I liked it. I thought it worked very well. I thought that scene was awesome. The fight at the end sucked. I'm gonna be honest, that fight stink. He's like, would you ever hit a man with glasses? And he punched him right in the face.
It was funny.
I thought it was funny. Yeah.
At least it was funny.
No, that was funny. And then when he said, and then you saw the chattering teeth on the floor.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Again, horrible scene. The scene between him and the guy, the kung fu guy that threw him and throws him. Yeah, it is what it is.
It's just okay. Like, yeah. It's okay. I don't hate
it. It is. For a first time superhero movie, it had a good to decent fighting
scene. 2.5, but we'll round it up.
Yeah, pretty much. It had a decent amount of fighting, but we gave it a good because it actually looked pretty good at the end. Okay, so we both gave it a 3 storyline.
All right, so storyline for me in this movie, it's a 4. I do think there are better Batman stories that exist in the films. They didn't really draw, to my knowledge, like very specifically from any comic book stories. I think they just made a Batman movie. You know what I mean? Because as you could probably tell me more because you're more into comics. I don't know if this Joker origin is in any of the comics. Is that like... Exactly. So I think they just made stuff up, but with the characters from the comic books. You know what I mean? But what I respect for leaving out the origin. I think he was very clever. Tim Burton was being kind of cheeky. At the beginning, you think that that's little Bruce Wayne with his parents, and you think, and then you see the shadow on the roof, and you're like, well, that ain't him. Who's that weird looking shadow walking across the thing?
The CGI Batman.
The weird cartoon shadow that goes on the floor.
This Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, so I love that part. I love it. As a fan, I think people got a kick out of it. But if you don't know anything about Batman, it will go right over your head. But I thought that was pretty cute. But I'm glad that they just jump right in. I love movies that jump right in. Like, I don't know. One we can use is when we did the Spider-Man movies.
Homecoming.
How Homecoming just starts. Yeah. Like, he is it. This is similar in that way. Like, he's Batman. And now you're just going to have the story. I think it's good. I like I like all the characters. Kim Basinger's great. I hate that guy, though. The reporter guy. The Robert Wool plays him. Get him out of here. Like, I don't really care for him. but I love Keaton. I love Joker. Anything with the Joker. Like, the storyline's really good.
Yeah.
But it's not like a ultimate banger Batman story. So I gave it a 4.
All right. So when it comes to storyline, I gave it a 3. I wasn't too sold on the storyline. I thought it was a good, solid beginning to Batman. I agree with you. The beginning was genius. I was like, this is so surprising. We all know about them getting shot up. And they played it anyway because he had to remember the flashbacks, right? When she showed the Napier killed his parents. And then he looked at it like, oh. And then he had that actual quote in the movie. He goes, I made you and you made me. And I was like, oh, boy. I was like, okay, I understand now. And even still, he didn't understand. He goes, sure, yeah, I killed your parents. But he doesn't know who the fuck he is. Like, he still doesn't know.
They were just random
people
to him. Yeah. He don't know.
So he was just like, yeah, sure, okay. The storyline, it was solid. Kim Basinger was good. I thought it was good, but that romance between her and Bruce Wayne went too fast. I was like, Jesus, he just met her like 1 second and all of a sudden he's banging her. Like, literally.
Very James Bond, not very. Yeah,
very James Bond. Like, yeah. So I wasn't too crazy with that. The other reporter was annoying as hell. The one that he's trying to bang Kane Bissinger, but then got jealous. And
yeah, that I guy. Just, I hate that guy.
Yeah. Commissioner Gordon was cool, though. I like Commissioner Gordon. He's cool. Yeah, and
very Billy old D. Williams as Harvey Dent.
He was okay. He was okay.
But I wish he got more to do later.
Yeah, I think I wish he did, too. My boy is the fat dude. Mm-hmm. He was like, don't talk to me like that, Jack. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He goes, hey, Eggard, think about the future. And then he shot his ass.
Yes.
Oh, man. Shoot to kill, boys. Yeah, he was actually pretty cool as commissioners, like, write him in the douche. And he was in the animated series, right? The one that was trying to get Batman, trying to make him look bad. He always had the toothpick in the mouth with the hat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's so many. That animated series is so, like, they used probably every character that ever was. Yeah, it's been a while since I watched it, but I love it.
But yeah, look, all in all, it's a solid story. You got the Prince music, which I'll talk about that overall. But look, other than that, it was a great storyline? No, but I thought it was a good, solid start for a Batman franchise. I thought it was really good. Some stuff I would have wrote out, like I agree with you. I would have wrote out the whole Jack Napier is the one that killed his parents. I would have even wrote out the love story between Vicky Vale and Batman. Like, you didn't need that, to be really honest with you. But anyway, that's what I would give. 3 to 3. I mean, sorry, you gave it a 4.
4.
For great. I gave it a 3 for good. Overall.
4. I think this is not my favorite Batman movie. It's not even my favorite of this set of 4 that we're going to be doing now. Spoiler alert. But I enjoy it. I like it. The funny thing is, this is not the first Batman movie I saw. A different one was. So a different one was the first one I ever saw. And then even a different one than that was the first one I ever saw in a theater. So I don't have the super nostalgia tie to this Batman that some other people do. But I do like it. I've mostly seen it as an adult, not when I was growing up as a kid. So I enjoy it. I think it's really well made. Now, 2 things. 1, the Danny Elfman score is amazing. It's the best. It's so good. He scored, I think, just the first 2 movies. He may have done Forever. I have to check, but I know he did Returns and the first Batman. Him and Tim Burton, to me, Danny Elfman and Tim Burton is like Steven Spielberg and John Williams. You know what I mean? Or Christopher Nolan and Hans Zimmer. Like, it just goes together. All of his scores for all of his movies are good to great. And the Batman score, you know, you talked about when it kicks in, like when the score kicks in with the car and everything. I mean, heck, even on the very, like the opening credits, it starts all like, and then you're like, what are we in? We're in some kind of cave and you're like going through the logo, like all like with a little camera. Sick. It builds it right off the bat. You're like, I'm hyped. I don't even know what's about to happen, but this score is so good. And Tim Burton, I'll end with this. Okay, just the first 2. Okay, so yeah, Danny Elfman did the first 2. I figured that. A weird choice to me, Tim Burton, to direct a Batman movie. Now, before this, he had like Pee-wee Herman movie. He had Beetlejuice. Great movies, don't get me wrong. I like Tim Burton. But I will say, I think this movie, in particular, he dialed back a lot of his Burtonisms, if that's a word that I can use. It's brooding and dark enough where you could tell he made it, but it's not as eccentric as a lot of his other movies are. You know what I mean? So I do think he dialed it back. I think he did a good job. I can't imagine someone else, who else I would pick in 1989 to make a Batman movie, but I think he infused enough of his style without going overboard. So I liked it. I think it's a good, fun movie. I gave it a 4.
I agree with you. I gave it a solid 4 too. It's a great film. It still holds up, to be honest with you. The action scenes, yeah, they outdated, but they were fun. And you know what made it fun was the score. You're right. Danny Elfman's score is amazing. And I don't understand why they don't keep using it. 007 has 25 freaking movies and they use the same theme song for all 25. Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they're all modern, but it's still...
It's
the same shit. I don't understand why they can't do it with Batman and Superman. Like, use the same iconic scores. Like, but they don't want it. Everyone has to have these new themes.
Star Wars got the same music? John Williams did the same, did the score for all them Star Wars movies.
Jaws?
Yeah, why? I agree with you. What the heck? Like, John Williams' Superman score and Danny Elfman's Batman score are both perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I don't know. I don't understand it. It is what it is. Prince. Let's talk about a little bit of Prince.
Ooh,
Prince did a great job with the soundtrack. And, you know, it's crazy. I never thought about it, but when the parents were coming out of the theater in the beginning, I think they were playing the song that was in the museum. Like, in the little radio, you heard it, like, mad low when they were running around. You were hearing that song. So I thought that was a pretty, I don't remember, but I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I thought Prince did an excellent job. I loved it. The music score, the overall score is just, Danny Elfman was a masterpiece on that one. But yeah, I gave it a 4. All right, what's your total points?
21 out of a 25. A really great movie. The action is the only thing that kind of, for what we talk about here, brings it down a little bit, but everything else I love. A great jumping off point to this franchise. Yeah, 21.
Yeah, I gave it a 20. Solid 20. This movie still holds up. I thought it was great, and the scores and everything. So everything, the moon's aligned with this Batman. The one thing I did liked was when the Batplane was crashing, you saw the model. When it was cracked, you saw the model. Like, you could tell that they put the camera mad, like, closed in.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool. I love when they do that. Superman did the same thing. And I thought it was pretty
practical
cool.
Practical effects of the time.
Yeah.
It's charming. It's charming.
You saw that in Superman when the Hoover Dam broke and it started to break through. You saw the little freaking light stands. And I was like, what? Okay, cool. I thought it was cool. Yeah, anyway, I gave it a 20. You gave it a 21. All right, Nate, what's coming up next?
Okay, next episode. We're going to be moving right along on our we'll call it poorly reviewed action movie month. With a little movie, it was the first time watch for you. I thought I had seen this movie, but maybe it was the first time watch for me too. It's a movie called Bangkok Dangerous, starring Nicolas Cage. So we're going to be doing that. And then next week, we move on to the one that was the first Batman movie I've ever seen, Batman Returns. Michelle Pfeiffer, hello. Little Dane DeVito, hello. A little bit of Christopher Walken. So we'll be doing some Bangkok Dangerous. And then next week, Batman Returns.
All right, so there you have it, guys. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast or YouTube.com/GeeksAndFlix for the video version of the podcast. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and he is
Nate from NateFlix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.